Men, by and large, want to sit back, cry, complain.
And fight each other. That's all we do.
Because they know if they protect another man, they help him become better and help his children. He may become strong and maybe take him over in business. What are you doing? What are you doing to make men better? What's your next step? What's your next move? How are you going to help other men? Well, we're fixing it. We're doing things. Because if we don't, it becomes generational. Our sons are going to go through this. And their sons are going to go through this. So somebody has to be man enough to step up and put rubber to road.
My wife says we're a bunch of traumatized men trying to lead traumatized men.
But yeah, she's absolutely correct. We have mistreated our men for over 50 years. Yeah!
Welcome to Why Daddy Never Cries podcast with your host, Chuck Kelleher. At Why Daddy Never Cries, we'll explore the lives surrounding daddies, their children, divorce, and silent domestic violence. We'll hear real-life horror stories from unsung heroes fighting for the ability to stay in their children's lives. We'll get those voices heard and hopefully find solutions before you lunatics burn the whole place to the ground. Hang in there, daddies. Chuck's here.
Chuck Kelleher and Why Daddy Never Cries are providing this podcast as a public service. I've known Chuck for 45 years, and he's neither a lawyer nor a mental health professional. He's not a doctor nor a rogue scholar by any stretch of the imagination. Chuck is simply a guy who's lived in hell for 20 years. Once he found a way out, he drew a map to help others navigate their own way home. The views and opinions expressed by Why Daddy Never Cries, employees, or our guests are their own. Guest appearance on the program do not imply an endorsement of them, their opinions, or any entity they represent. And please, for the love of God, if you have any questions or fears about your unique circumstances, please contact a lawyer, a religious leader of your choice, or a medical professional in your area. Don't fuck this up, brothers, because we're all in this together.
We'd like to thank our sponsor, Voss G2, for helping small and medium-sized businesses elevate their brand perception with design. Take your brand to the next level at VossG2.com. We'd also like to thank Harry Duran and his team at Fullcast for their amazing assistance. If you're planning a podcast and you haven't contacted Fullcast, you might as well call your show Podfade.
All right, I'd like to welcome back Bill Corbett, spokesperson for the men's movement. He's uniting the tribes. He's spent all of last year trying to get guys together, bringing organizations together, and now he's starting Daddy's House. And we're going to let Bill get into it because, as you know, there's two shelters for men out there. Bill, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, thanks. Good to see you again, man. So Daddy's House, it's simply a men and fathers domestic violence shelter. Right now, and you're correct, there are women in the United States specifically have 2,000 DV shelters they can go to throughout the country, the continental United States. There's only two. One's in Texas, one's in California for men. That's it. Someone asked us, where are they getting all this data to do all this domestic violence research out there? And there's so much data coming in about women. There's nothing coming in about men. And I was like, you know, that's a good question. Let's go look. So we looked through a warehouse practically of all this research, but in the research document, they have to list their sites. They have to reference it. Like, where did you get the data from? Because you can go back to the raw data, figure it out. And we got it in from all the typical sources, the hospitals, police departments, surveys, things like that. But a third of it, from what we can figure, a third of it came in from women's domestic violence shelters.
Hmm.
Now, that's 2,000 separate data feeds to feed the feminist narrative and only two for men in America. If you look at a domestic violence shelter as a data point, in other words, someone shows up, they sit down with a counselor at the shelter and they say, what happened to you? What's going on? What do you need? Are you hungry? You need clothes? You need medical attention? They're filling out paperwork and you're filling out form. As you're there at the domestic violence shelter, they're collecting data on you because they put it out there and sell it. They'll anonymize it. So, you know, your name and everything that go with it is all protected by law.
Right.
But that's 2,000 data points men don't have. That's 1,998 more data points that men don't have. But on the flip side, men are out there bitching. Well, all this research, I don't understand where they're getting it. Here's a clue, guys, that are listening. I just gave you the answer. How finally we can get our data, information, and message out there is through these DV shelters. Why? It's data. It's raw data. I can now plumb that into UC Berkeley. I can plumb that into MIT. I can plumb that anywhere that wants it.
It's interesting.
Now, with 5,000 DV shelters versus 2,000 for women, why do you think the feminists want to kill me? Because they now know the truth will come out and they now know they'll have to own the fact everything they've been saying is propaganda and a damn bold-faced lie. And this was always on our roadmap. So we're pushing hard in 2024, and we're going to keep pushing until we get it set here in Atlanta, Georgia. The domestic violence shelter is very important from a lot of different aspects. One, it gives a place for men or fathers that are in trouble to go. And when I was in trouble, I literally called the 911 line. I'm like, I need somewhere to go. And it was like, get a hotel. I mean, there was zero compassion at all. And I'm holding a baby that wasn't even 14 months at the time. And I'm like, I got to get out of this, you know. And this is right after she pinned me in my truck as she was beating on my truck after she chased me out of the house with a butcher knife.
Yikes.
And I had to run outside, lock myself in my truck, and hear her banging on the window. I hate you. I hate your guts. I'm like, what in the hell did I just marry? And I still got the audio of this. I'll post it one day. You know, my friends occasionally call me at one another. It's going on. I said, dude, I'm living the Alfred Hitchcock dream. You know, I mean, it literally felt like an Alfred Hitchcock movie I was living in. It was surreal. With fathers and men having a place to go, it does so many things. So you can call a helpline and 911 line and say, I need to go to daddy's house. Can you put me in touch with daddy's house? The name itself is easily translated across every single language on the planet, daddy's house. That's number one thing. We didn't design or we didn't come up with a concept for daddy's house for just to be in the United States. Our ultimate dream goal is to put one in every major city on the planet, period.
Excellent.
The term daddy's house, which identifies a DV shelter for men and fathers and their children, is not just English. It translates well across the board, period. Mm-hmm. So you can call your 911 line or your helpline and say, I need to talk to somebody at daddy's house. Get 24 hours, get them on the phone. I need help. Can someone come get me? And here's how we can help. Right now, we want the first one east of the Mississippi River to be here in Atlanta. Here's why. We have the infrastructure to support it. Okay, being a public transportation, we've got highways infrastructure, we have law enforcement, we've got mental health experts and practitioners, we got everything here that can support it, make it a resounding success. And we have the headquarters facility for veteran fathers here to support that as well. But you don't look at daddy's house as being limited to just Atlanta. You can put one in Charlotte, you can put one in New York City, you can put one in New Jersey or all the way out in Los Angeles if you want. Then go in any city you want to get it funded to put up a daddy's house.
Now, what would somebody look for? I'm in my city, XYZ, somewhere in the country, somewhere in the world. What would make me want to put a daddy's house in my city?
Right. You have to be able to understand and think like a business person, first off. So getting it built and getting it set up, that's one thing. But now you have to staff it. Mm-hmm. You have to get food, water, shelter available. You have to pay your utilities bill. You have to pay your lease, or you have to continue on with taxes on the property if it's in ownership. You have to be able to develop a sustainability model. In other words, part of the model of contacting us and saying, I want to do a DV shelter. I want to do daddy's house here is we're going to walk you through. Okay, here's what you have to show us. You have the wherewithal to understand once it's up and running, that's great. It's empty. You got to furnish it. You have to pay, get your utilities connected, put all the down payments there, get all those running. You have to staff it. So where are you going to get your volunteers from? Are you going to volunteer staff? Some of the staff, I'll be honest with you, these DV shelters are paid W-2s. Okay, you're going to bring them on staff. You're going to pay them W-2. What's that amortized figure going to look like for 5 years? But here's what's really great about it. It's for kids. It really is for kids. I mean, you're going to have the bigots out there that are going to say, well, this is just for men. They already got everything. Well, really, we don't. And I've spoken to that several times. We don't have rights. We have privileges that are revoked all the time. And when they're revoked, it's a privilege. It's not a right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once you get the daddy's health modeling set up, we got you all supported and we got all the branding, logoing, all, you know, we've got the social media feeds and everything all set up for you. All you have to do is just go out and do it. All these self-help sites, all these men need to do better sites. This is it. This is rubber on the road.
Yes, sir.
You're getting all this education. They got great, great, brilliant business people out there saying, this is what you need to do. You need to set up an LLC. You need to put it in an irrevocable trust. They're telling you all this stuff. Great. This is rubber meets the road. We're not talking about jack. We're getting it done. And that's the difference is men have gotten so adulterated by social media. They feel they're doing something if they talk. And I've posted this on several videos. Before we launched in November 2022, me and some other veterans we went to the country clubs and to the bars and restaurants where attorneys and judges hang out. We know where they all are here in Atlanta. And we just sat there and listened to them talk. Mm-hmm. And occasionally we'd engage them in conversation. See, it's all part of what I call running a counterintelligence operation, is you're gathering intel on these people. With my background, I said, okay, here's how we're going to frame this. We're going to go to this facility here. And a couple of these people helping us out were very attractive ladies who would go in and flirt with the judges and attorney and all fed their ego, baby. And they had diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah, they always do.
You know, you got a pretty lady sitting there flirting with you. You might be married with four kids. Yeah. But anyway, and so we engage them in these conversations. We'd ask them, hey, I was looking at this video. We a couple times play the video. And look at this guy complaining. They would laugh. Laugh.
Yeah.
I don't care if he went through a bad divorce. He ain't going to do a damn thing. Laugh.
Untouchable.
I was like, you arrogant ass. They really don't care about families. And they damn sure don't care about kids. It's all about the money.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yeah, and they know exactly what you said. They're untouchable. No one's putting them in prison. So the first year, we launched last April of 2023. We said, look, our model is designed as ACLU for fathers. We can, proper money, we can put these judges, attorneys, officers, court in prison. No one really gave a damn. Nobody. But here they are getting bent over. And the ones that did care is like, well, I'm broke. The court made me broke. Well, okay, go out and fundraise. Okay, go out and do something. Rubber meets the road. Well, I'm going to set up my own channel and I'm going to talk about it. I'm like, dude, there are thousands of these podcasts. Just contact them. Get in their channel. They got more followers. Don't do it yourself. Oh, I'm going to do it myself. I'm like, okay, great. How's that going to work for you? Failure model. I've spoken to that too. It's like, I'm giving so much sage advice. People aren't paying attention to it. Why? Because I'm telling them what they're doing is fucked up.
Yeah.
Well, it's fucked up. It's going to fail. I'm gonna go out there and do it. I'm like, good luck. And then guess what? They fall flat on their face. And they always call me later and be like, okay, it didn't work. What do you suggest? I'm like, dude, I'm going. I'm moving. We're moving. You got to play catch up ball now. We're off and running. So after 23, we already knew it was on our plan. 24 is daddy house. 24 going for is daddy's house. And I just posted a video about this the other day. So you men out there, veteran fathers are it. Daddy's house is your answer. Now what's going to happen is because you need to do work. Watch the men not do the work. They want someone else to do it for them.
Yeah.
See, that's interesting, isn't it? Right now, I think we just went over the ledge. I want to say we went over the ledge in mid-January. More women are helping at veteran fathers than men.
Really?
And I'm serious.
I believe it.
I'm like, wait a minute. How many women? I literally went through my roster of people helping. And I went, I have more women helping me at veteran fathers than I do men.
I believe it.
And I went, my God, what these women are telling me is true. And these are women that support men's rights, support fathers' rights, support children, support DV shelters. Oh, we screen the living poop out of them prior to them coming on board. Oh, trust me. All right. They understand. They get it. They're in total support. Some of them are married. A couple are single mothers. But they get it. And they totally understand. And they totally want to help. They want to do something. Okay. Men, by and large, want to sit back, cry, complain. Woe is me. Because social media has made them weak.
And fight each other. That's all we do.
Oh, my God. Don't get me started on that. And here's what's interesting. Now that you got me off topic, but I'm going to chase that rabbit down. Men hate men.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm totally convinced of it. So Aaron Pizzi said 20 years ago, men hate men. Men won't help men. I totally believe it. I mean, it's amazing. And people say, well, why veteran fathers? You don't care about other fathers. Well, first off, for you to say something like that, you're devoid of logic. You're guided by emotion, not logic or reason, okay? And see how that works out for you. It won't. And when you fail miserably enough and you come back to Bill Corbett, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to rub your nose in it. Why? Because the best way to teach a dog a lesson, you rub his nose in his poop.
That's absolutely not true.
I mean, I have a little bit of brevity here with it, but I mean, come on. Men need to be reminded they made a bad decision. Now, you know, I'm very direct and I get that from the military. And that's because you screw up among military guys and now you go to a bar. Oh, let me tell you what the topic of conversation is at the bar. It's your screw up. And military people do it in good humor, but we do it to remind each other. Hey, you screwed that up. Don't do it again. We're going to laugh about it now, but we're going to watch you. Don't screw it up again. You know, don't make that same mistake again, because we're going to teach you. We're going to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And civilians aren't used to it. They take it personal, easily offended. And they go, oh, well, Bill said something mean to me. I'm like, well, grow up.
My wife says we're a bunch of traumatized men trying to lead traumatized men.
Oh, my God.
And that's why we keep.
Oh, my God.
And that's why we keep failing.
Oh, my God. I'll buy her a drink next time I see her. But yeah, she's absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, I'm a strong believer that social media has caused men to become women. We talk like women. We interact like women. We don't talk like men. I mean, you and I do, but that's one thing. Because from that, women are the predominant force in social media and men want acceptance. So going back to men hate men, why do you think lawmakers make laws against men? It isn't because they have a genuine hatred for them. They're looking for female gratification.
Yeah.
thoroughly convinced of that. Like, I just had a big post run last couple of days. I didn't think it would take off. It just launched. Was out of Illinois. These judges wrote this document, a court decision about, hey, well, you know, women and minorities get preference in court testimony. I'm like, that's crazy. You didn't mention men. It's illegal. You can't do that. And the court documents by law, you can't reference by gender. It has to be general neutral language in there. And if it does reference by gender, you damn well better reference every gender out there.
Sure.
Or else you have intentionally, it's by malice of forethought and implicit bias, and those are violations of felonies. You intentionally alienated the other gender. And that's where men don't understand, is some men do, but men typically are in a female environment all the time. School, female teachers, levels of academia, predominantly female focused. Even men are female focused in academia, senior academia. Now you have to understand, men have forgotten how to act like men, how to get out and actually do something. They'd rather go online, post, retweet, complain, gripe, post their videos, do something. What are you doing? What are you doing to make men better? Okay, you go work out at the gym, you lose weight, you get in shape. Good. What then? What's your next step? What's your next move? How are you going to help other men? But most importantly, how are you going to help children?
Yeah.
Kids. Because as men going through, and you've been through this too, you understand that a child with an abusive woman is going to get abused. It's the nature, abuse is generational.
Yes, it is.
And from that, they're going to get abused. And as men, we want to help them. Well, I'm broke. I can't help them. Well, how did you get broke? I went through a divorce. Well, duh. I went through a divorce prior, but it was a good divorce. But going through this next one was an utter total nightmare. But I hear men all the time. I heard the horror stories. And I used to always ask myself, why isn't it getting fixed? Why aren't people doing something? Why isn't something happening? Go out and get it fixed. Well, we're fixing it. We're doing things. Because if we don't, it becomes generational. Our sons are going to go through this. And their sons are going to go through this. So somebody has to be man enough to step up and put rubber to road. That's what this is about. And from that, I look around. Oh, I judge men hard. I look around. I look and say, oh, yeah, that's a good thing. Like, there's a guy, I've always had the dream of starting a TV shelter. I'm like, dude, we already got one going. Here's the link. How about jumping in and helping us out? I forgot his Twitter handle. Crickets, nothing. Went totally dark.
Wants his name on it.
He wants his name on it. Exactly. It's all about him. It's all about self-enrichment. I'm not getting paid to do what I do. We were just talking about that offline. I don't get paid.
Yeah.
I put in my own sweat equity into this. Everything you see, I'm not going to make a dime out of it. But I can stay up to 2 o'clock in the morning and do this, not get paid. But other men, I watch. You say you're going to do this. You say you want to do that. I watch. I got the vehicle. We've built that. There, like I said on the last video, I've taken all your excuses off the table. You got no more excuses. None. All you're going to do is bitch. That's all you got left is you're going to be a bitch. Men, we do stuff. We do stuff. We build stuff. We built worlds, countries, nations. We put men on the fucking moon.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We're going to put daddy's house every single major capital city on the fucking planet before I get the earth pulled over my head.
God willing, man. All right. So knowing guys don't normally look out for help, but you finally get a guy who's strong enough to say, I need help and I'm calling daddy's house. What does he expect?
Boom. Let's go.
Hey, listen, I don't know what I'm doing. My wife is fucking crazy. And be honest with you, I think she's going to kill me or my kids. What do I do, sir?
So the first thing we do is we get him off the 911 line because that's recorded. We get a direct line to him. No Google number. We're not going to play that game. We're going to call your cell phone directly. Why? We reverse index it. Make sure we're talking to a man and not a setup from some sort of mainstream socialist media propagandist feed. Okay. When we realize we're talking to a genuine person, we're going to set them up. We're going to give them a sheet of instructions. This is what you need to do. Here's where we'll meet you. You show up with your documents. You're going to need your driver's license. You're going to need whatever household documents you can lay your hands on to, a mortgage or renters, your car insurance. They should be in a filing cabinet somewhere. Go in and grab them, throw them in a duffel bag. Get clothing items and get personal care items and get whatever cash you can lay your hands on. Get the kids together. Get them in a car. If you need a car, hopefully we'll have it set up where we will come get you in the car and get you out of there. That's the first priority, is get you somewhere safe.
Excellent.
And then with daddy's house built, you're somewhere safe. So for people not familiar with DV shelters, they're not allowed to say where the DV shelter is.
Correct.
Okay, they're not. And it's protected by law enforcement. Okay, so you have to understand that. Once you get a registered DV shelter in place, the people who work at the DV shelter, who know about the DV shelter, of course, will know where it's at. But law enforcement knows where it's at. Okay, the sheriff's department, the police department knows where it's at. And they have patrols that are close to the DV shelter. They change their patrol routes. Okay, so you got police protection. But also, too, when you show up there, you walk in the door, and the way we have it envisioned, we'll have it designed, is just good old Southern home cooked meals. You know, my family is Southern. I go to my aunt's house right now, and there's something on the stove. ready to go. Just fix you a plate, get you a plate, something to eat, sit down here and talk to me. So you hungry? I'm like, man, I eat all the time over here. I'm not hungry. Get you something to eat, sit down here. That's the way it's going to be. There's always going to be hot food ready to go. There'll be clothing there. They got beds to sleep in. They've got toys and educational material for the kids. Any mental health professionals will have that. But most importantly, and here's the cutting edge that the feminists don't ever want you to hear, is you get to talk to attorneys. We're going to partner with highly screened law firms and attorneys in those law firms that when you show up as a victim of domestic violence, even if it's late at night, we'll put you down, bed you down, get you some sleep, you got a shower over here you can take, you know, just relax, blow off some steam, you're safe now.
Yeah.
In the morning, that attorney's going to be sitting at a table. Go in there and talk to them. Tell them what's going on. That's how DV shelters for women work. But here's what they don't want you to know is they do that. They sit these women in front of an attorney day one or day two, and they start legal proceedings. Men don't get that.
And they're controlling the narrative from day one.
Yeah. And guess what? It's free of cost. It's free of cost. Doesn't cost you a thing. So all these fathers out there listening to Chuck and I talk, you ain't got no money? Well, you ain't got no DV shelter either, do you? Boom. See? That's why I'm in your face. That's why I'm in your face, guys. And I'm telling you, you want this fixed? DV shelters are the kryptonite. These will fix the courts. These will put judges in jail. These will put attorneys in prison. This will rock the whole country back on its heels and go, wow, we have mistreated our men for over 50 years. DV shelters. That's it.
How do we get men to go?
You can't force a man. You can't force anybody.
True.
It's men are self-motivated. They either see the vision, they see the purpose, they see the direction, they know it's the right thing to do. And they're protectors. They're naturally protectors. And when you're a naturally born dominant man, it's in your DNA to protect. And how do you protect? You protect the victims. Doesn't matter if that victim's got a penis or not. They're a victim. So guess what? You protect them. But if they're weak men, they're not going to want to protect anybody but themselves. They're very self-centered, very self-focused. It's Machiavellianism. And I've spoken to that about Dark Tetrad. Is because they know if they protect another man, they help him become better and help his children. He may become strong and maybe take him over in business. Because strong men are protectors. They're guardians of the galaxy. They go out and they conquer entire armies because they're doing the right thing. Weak men won't. There's a line, and I'm going to do a video clip of this. George C. Scott, a famous actor who played Patton in another movie he did, he says, the only difference between a brave man and a coward is they both feel and go through the same thing, but a brave man does something. The coward doesn't do anything. And from that, he's not going to do it. He's weak. He's cowardly. The brave man realizes I'm scared to death. And I've seen men so scared, they couldn't even get over a rifle, but they still picked it up and they still put rounds down range.
Yep.
See? Brave men do something. And what you finally realize is it's not that hard to be brave. It's the initial fear. And I've spoken to this. There's several factors coming with fear. Fight, flight, and freeze. Mm-hmm. When you're going through divorce court and child custody, freeze comes into play because now it's a mental and emotional impact to you. And men aren't ready for that. We don't know how to fight that. But a dude shows up with a bat. Okay, I got a good idea how this fight's going to go down.
Fair statement.
It's going to go down me putting rounds down range and he brought a bat to a gunfight. Okay. But that's where men freeze. And from that, they let fear control them. And that's weak men. Let fear control them. And I was there. I was frozen for about 3-4 years. So I finally got mad enough. Says this just got to stop. And I got to build me a team. And I'm going to go out there and conquer the world because I don't care. And I realize I really have nothing to be afraid of. I really don't. You know, Richie up in Canada, he's trying to get global protests going on the 24th of April for father's rights and family court. He's out there campaigning hard for that. He doesn't care. You didn't care. This fear is built in the brain. You actually make it worse than what it actually is. I hear fathers all the time. I'm like, well, you don't want to do anything. Go out and protest. No, I'm afraid I'll get arrested and then I'll lose custody of my kids. And I'm like, fear, that never happened.
What are you planning on doing while you're protesting?
Right. What it is the estrogen levels in their system have gotten to a point where it's now taking over logical thought. I'm a firm believer.
Yeah, but the estrogen levels can hate each other tooth and nail, yet bond together for a given cause.
Oh, my good Lord. That's right. And most of these men that are weak cowards, they'll bond with women. They will. I'm totally convinced of it. You look at them like, oh, yeah. Why? Because they look for women's approval, not a man's approval. Me, I'll be honest with you. I'm still here. A lot of those men that when we first launched, there was one veteran. I mean, I heard he's no longer running for office. He's trying to run for office out of Florida. What did he call me? He said, oh, this is a cult. He's starting a cult. Well, the other veterans went and knocked on his door and said, yeah, don't run for office in this city anymore. So he's projecting.
Where'd we come up with the name Daddy's House?
I think it was my 6-year-old we were looking to build the company or the nonprofit and put everything together. And the DV shelter was on the list, and we had had a board meeting. We just couldn't settle on a name. And I picked up my little girl from school, and she said, "I love going to Daddy's house." And there was only her and I in the truck. And I was like, "Don't you mean you love going home?" She goes, "Yes, I love going to Daddy's house." I was like, "Why?" She goes, "It's always happy." Mm-hmm. And I went, "Daddy's house. Perfect." Because it's about kids. It's what it's genuinely about.
And they usually live with the mom, and they usually go to Daddy's house. It's home or Daddy's house.
It's home. You go to Daddy's house. Why? It's safe. It's happy. It's fun. Daddy will protect you. We're protectors. You know, I mean, that's just the way men are. It's natural for us. It's in our DNA, you know, and so why not Daddy's house? And then we started looking at, well, how does it translate in different languages? Sure, there's some nuances out there, but it translates well in other languages.
Yeah.
And we were like, oh, let's go with it. In marketing, you do feelers. Put the name out, see how it's accepted, see what the feedback is. Because we can always change it, but once you launch, you're tied to it.
Yeah.
And never a negative comment anywhere. And we put it in some really, I thought would be adversarial test environments, and it turned out all positive. So that even means women have a positive look on Daddy's house.
Okay. I think the majority of women stand with men on this. Unfortunately, we have fringe groups running a lot of things in this country right now that the majority of the people, the middle America, all understand that everyone should be equal. Everyone should get the same treatment. And they honestly want to stop injustice from happening. But like most Americans, you know, burger in one hand and beer in the other, as long as it's not in my backyard, I don't see it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I always remind men, they say, well, you know, you just went through a bad divorce. I'm like, I'm the casino. They're like, what? I'm the casino. 76% chance you're going to lose. You're going to go through a divorce. Just a matter of time. Time's on my side, not on yours anymore. You're still married. Time's on my side. So I'm like the mob. I'm sitting here just grinning like there'll be a time. And one of my neighbors, we were looking to start the nonprofit. We were having this discussion, and I was learning. I was reading all the data as we were talking. And at the time, he thought he had a great relationship and a great marriage. And shortly before our launch, he came over, and you know, he was upset. And he said, you know, I hate to say this, but you're right. You are the casino. I'm living proof. I'm like, dude, it's a hard reality. A lot of men don't want to see that. But guess what? There's nothing stopping your wife right now packing up the house, walking out, taking 50 to 65% of everything you have worked for as a couple out the door. Gone. Kids and everything. And you're screwed.
Yeah, you are.
You know, I mean, it's a hard reality. And I went into it blindly. I had a good first divorce. Okay. We didn't have kids, but it was very amicable. Okay. We didn't hate each other at the time of the divorce, but second divorce was a nightmare. So I went into it thinking it was going to be very amicable, and I knew it wasn't going to be, but I didn't know what to do. When I sat down at the dinner table and said, look, I want a divorce. We've got a very young child, not even a year old at the time. I said, but we need to discuss how things are going to be made up. You give me what I want and need. I'll get you what you want and need, and we'll part ways, and we'll just take care of our daughter. She literally jumped up from the table while holding my little girl and said, fuck you. I'm going to take everything you fucking own and you can go fuck yourself.
Sounds about right.
And I was like, what the fuck did I just marry? And she did. And she did. Literally did it.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized I was very gullible. I'll admit it. I was very gullible. I could not believe the evidence and details and facts that I found out later stages of the divorces, as well as after the divorce. I just could not believe I was so deceived. And that's when I started to realize that paperwork I found where she was professionally diagnosed as a narcissist. What does that mean? And I started studying about narcissism, and that's when it hit me. I literally, according to the criteria, should be an internationally recognized expert in female narcissistic behavior because I had a 14-year field study living with one. So I meet all the criteria.
I just got that.
I just completed a 14-year field study. All I have to do is publish.
10,000 hours makes you an expert. You nailed that.
But you got to laugh at it.
You got to.
You know, but there's the critics out there to go, well, you should have known better. Dude, you haven't been with a narc. Mm. Because a narc is very good at manipulation and gaslighting. And oh boy, men are romantic. Men are. We're the romantic. Most of the romantic songs out there are written and sung by men, not women, men.
We were doing the courting. That's true.
Yeah. Think about that harsh reality of life. I mean, I'm old school dude, man. I play the crooners like nobody's business. Men. They wrote and sung those romantic songs. Men write the poetry. Men put on the plays. Men are the romantics. And women want them to be romantic so they can abuse them. Take advantage of their romanticism because they'll turn everything good you've ever done around on you. Here's a word of caution to you married men out there and to you men who are thinking about getting married. A lot of the information these male coaches are putting out there and telling you that in a relationship, you should have boundaries. You should have do's and don'ts. I agree with that. Conceptually, I agree with it. And I had them in my marriage. But let me explain to you how that's going to come around and chop your dick off in court. Is now you're going to be perceived and positioned in front of the courts as a domineering, controlling man who basically controlled every aspect of her life. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be seen as toxic and narcissistic, and you're going to be destroyed in court, all because you agreed to boundaries.
Interesting.
So you go ahead and play that relationship game. You go ahead and play that all you want. But, oh, I'm going to set boundaries, you know. So-and-so said, well, your relationship should have boundaries. And it should. But these narc women are going to spin that around for you in court, and you're toast. You're done. It's over. You're not going to survive it.
I've been saying that for years, especially that the falsely accused, that the stronger that you get, the more you appear like that which you've been accused.
Yeah.
Like, you want to be involved in the kids' lives. You're trying to show up at schools. You're trying to do things. And like, look, he's trying to control the scenario. He's controlling. I just want to be a part of their lives too.
Yeah. Yeah. Me, I don't give a fuck. I'm like, I show up anyway. Like, my kid's here. I'm here. You know, I give her space. Trust me.
That's what I did.
There's a fine line there.
Yeah.
But if it's a functioning school, I'm there. You know, come hell or high water, I'll walk in that door. I don't give a damn she's there or not. I've never said a word to her. I'm not ever planning on talking to her because I know she'll use every dialogue I have with her against me.
Mm-hmm.
Read an article the other day that upset me. So I warned fathers, the most dangerous part of your life as a single father now is the custody exchange point.
Oh, yeah. You and I were talking about that last year.
And there was an article I read where a father was shot and killed at the custody exchange point. And I got so mad because I thought, aren't people listening to what I've been trying to tell them? Because I know her and I know she's psychopathic and I know she will convert another man. And she's done it a couple of times. Another man with low morals. And from that, convince him to either kill me or harm me. No, no doubt in my mind.
Even tapping into the protector. You know, you want to protect the one you love. You're with somebody. And I was in the same scenario where I would have definitely gone to jail if I bumped into a couple of the abusive ex-boyfriends. Allegedly abusive ex-boyfriends.
Allegedly, but now you're realizing, oh, she was manipulating me. And a lot of men don't understand it. Like, I had my life threatened by a CEO of a company here in Atlanta. It's public record. You can go look up police record. The CEO here in Atlanta threatened my life.
Why?
Because he was manipulated by the number.
Oh. Okay.
Now, he's apparently lost his job after I filed the police report. The police investigated him on it.
And he's probably not even with her anymore.
No, there's no way. And now he's no longer CEO. He made a bad decision.
Yes, he did.
Now, as a man, he should step up. He should meet me in person. And he should cut Daddy's house a big, fat check. Like I said before, I got receipts.
Mm-hmm.
I got receipts. I'm totally legit. I'm not making anything up. People go, that's wild and crazy. Well, no, he's CEO of the company. Absolutely. Threaten my life.
All right, let's jump back to Daddy's house. How many rooms are we thinking? Are private rooms? Are they private public?
It's going to be governed by finance, to be honest with you.
Okay, fair enough.
I know people in real estate here in Atlanta, high-end real estate. They tell me there's a couple of vacant mansions. I went into one. It's like 40,000 square feet of just dust, empty. Three stories, a full basement, main floor, and a second floor. Gated, walled, great grounds so you can put in playgrounds. Kids can run around safely. It's a wall. It's not a fence. It's a solid block wall.
Okay.
So security cameras, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
And I was really impressed with the amount of empty space because in my mind, I'm looking at a facility like that. I can divide up that free space and put individual private rooms there for a father and the children, see?
Mm-hmm.
But then I have to realistically say, I doubt someone's going to donate an $80 million mansion and property. You know, that would be nice, but it's been vacant for 3 or 4 years. But
yeah,
it is, you know, people are greedy like that. But for those looking to donate property, I have this to say to you. We're a legit nonprofit. That's a tax write-off for you. You get tax credit for that. Okay, so you've been sitting on a property for 3 or 4 years. You've been soaked with taxes. Write it off. Give it to the nonprofit. You know, take the write-off.
All the links will be in the show notes. So if you need to get in touch with Bill, it's a tax write-off.
Get all the tax credits for you, and you get to unload it. It's a property doing nothing. You get to unload it and walk away. And you can campaign that. You can use it in your, you know, we got election year coming up. You can, if you're looking to run for office, you're sitting on property, ain't doing nothing. Got 3 or 4 mansions. You can't live in all three. Dude, give us one.
Yeah.
You know, give us one. And then, you know, you got to figure staffing. So when I look at it, I'm looking at anything from, you know, a townhome with 3 rooms in it to, you know, something like that. You know, I think men should have access to the mansion. To be totally honest with you, a man owns it. Why not? Man up. Help protect, you know, other men.
Yeah.
You've helped women for 50 years. Why not help men?
What kind of programs are you going to put in? You said you'll have a lawyer there for them in the morning or soon after.
Yeah, we put up a list on our website, daddyshouseshelter.com, volunteer positions. That gives you a good flavor of the amenities we're going to offer. We plan on offering the full suite, to be honest with you, all soup to nuts. You can show up with nothing, not even money, just your IDs. And, you know, if you're fortunate enough, grab your phone. We'll give you clothing, food, shelter, medical care, everything.
Job assistance.
Yeah, job assistance, job placement, job training. We have vehicle care.
Nice.
You look on our website, veteranfathers.com. You'll go to the partner portal. There's another nonprofit in there, GI Garage. A bunch of friends of mine here in town started it. They're former Marines and Army and Air Force guys. They all got together. They put up a garage. Why? To help veterans repair their cars.
No.
So you show up in your old hoopty and ain't running right. I'll give them a call and say, hey, yo. Got a car here. Daddy needs a car. He's like, what's he need? We'll come get it. We'll fix it. We'll show up and fix it there if he can't drive it over here. You know, we'll offer him the full suite. When I say full suite, just whatever. Yes, we plan on offering. Hey, yeah. And here's the other thing we're going to do above what women's shelters do. You ready for this?
Hit me.
A woman shows up to a women's DV shelter and her son is 13 years of age or older. They won't let him in. If they're your dependent and they're not an adult, they're 21, they can't come in. I'd consider them an adult. But if they're your dependent, they're 13, 14, 18, come on. We're not going to turn a kid away. You're their daddy. You got your kids in tow. Bring them. Grab them by the hand and say, we're going to go somewhere safe. We'll come get you if we have to. You're in Idaho. You want to come to daddy's house? Get the kids to the airport. Get them on a plane. Get into Atlanta. We'll come get you.
Excellent.
Okay, well, that's what we're here to do. We'll help you figure out the legal ramifications later, but get somewhere safe. You know, get out of that abuse, okay? So, yeah, Atlanta's house is perfect. You know, putting daddy's house here in Atlanta is perfect. And there's a couple of hashtags you can follow. We have two that are focused on just posts in relation to the DV shelter. One is hashtag Daddy's House GA for Georgia 501. So, you know, it's our nonprofit tag. And then we have another one, Daddy's House 501. That's the global. So you know it's directly associated with daddyshouseshelter.com. You can follow that hashtag if you're in their country. You can search it and figure out. We post news, updates, how things are going, things we'd like for you to do, things we need help. So if you don't want to get inundated with all this other stuff going on the internet, you can search it by the hashtag, put in the proper hashtag, and that'll be at the end of your show. And with that, you can go search for all the news and updates. And that's what we're going to do. We're not going to post daily. We're not going to post for clout. We're going to post actionable items. News, interviews, stuff that's relevant. So you're busy, you're working. You ain't got time to get caught up on things. Go open up your favorite social media, put in the hashtag, click it, and pick out what news story and what information, what update you want to read. And that's how you get the information. Once you learn social media, is direct access to current news and updates, not what the propagandists and corporate media want you to hear, but real news and updates about Daddy's House. That's how you do it.
Okay.
Furthermore, you can go to the webpage, Daddy's House Shelter. You look at the different tab, and in the different tabs, it'll tell you, here's the one for Japan. You can click on that tab, and in that tab, they'll have the information about that specific daddy's house. So we've got the infrastructure. It's ready to go.
What about time limits? Usually, I think it's 3 months in most shelters keep people. Are you doing time limits or still figuring all that out?
Man, you're asking some good questions. No, I love them, but I already know the answer. You just forget it's in the back of my head to talk about it. So there are time limits. There's short-term housing, there's emergency housing, and then there's long-term housing placement.
Okay.
So we'll work all three of those. So of course you show up, that's emergency housing right there. Short-term housing, you could still possibly be at daddy's house, but then we're going to have a housing transition plan set up to where we'll get you in somewhere. You know, I've already started to make ground roads in with some apartment complexes, some townhome complexes to where we'll say, look, we got a beacon with DV to come out of our shelter. What do you have available? And we'll try to get you in at a discount rate.
Can you partner up with what's that called? Section 8 or something like that?
Well, Section 8 housing is government housing, and that's typically not very positive environments for children.
Yeah, I couldn't think of a different type of government-sponsored housing program.
Yeah, we don't plan on backing in any government housing unless it's in a good neighborhood. So we're not going to take you out of an abusive environment and throw you in slums. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to actually work with business people. Now, in that, they're in a profit model, so they're not going to give us a townhome. I mean, they could if they really were feeling gracious. They're not going to give us a townhome. If they did, they might give us a year. You can go and you can move in this townhome for a year. And I've had those conversations. They haven't committed anything on paper because we don't have daddy's house running. But at the same time, I mean, you talk about a dream of mine. Here's why I'm going to dream big. Ready for this?
Yep.
How about zero interest mortgages from Daddy's House? How about that? Think about that. We could have enough funding. We could set up our own industrial bank. And from that, once you pass all the criteria, because it's a business with a bank,
mm-hmm.
you have to understand that. And you're considered a good standing member of the community. And you help Daddy's House and Veteran Fathers. This isn't going to be a give me program. You got skin in the game. I've got skin in the game. Okay. But you're Chuck. I'm Bill. We have a victim of domestic violence shows up and he wants to participate in a lot of our extra benefit programs. I want a zero interest loan on a home. Okay, good. Here's what we want from you. Time.
Mm-hmm.
Time. We want your time. We want you to come by the shelter and volunteer. We want you to go out and campaign for it. We want you to do what men do. Help other men. We want you to hold fundraisers. We want time. We don't get time. No, we'll put the interest on that mortgage. That'll be a contractual agreement.
I like that. I like that a lot.
See, here's where men have gotten in the habit of, where you do all the work, we want it for free. And once we get it for free, we're done. We're out. No, baby. No, not here. You're going to own it. Now, that's where a lot of men are like, I'm not going to do that. Well, good. You don't get a zero interest mortgage.
Mm-hmm. 1 weekend a month, 5 years commitment. Yeah.
Yeah. Think about it.
It's definitely worth it.
Think about it. Zero interest on a mortgage? Holy cow. What sane individual will go, wait a minute, I got a zero interest mortgage. All I got to do is make the payment on it. And in return, I give you my time. Where do I sign? Okay. And I think you come up with a phrase of, you know, Bill, this is a put up or shut up month. Well, yeah, it is. And yeah, we're going to take full benefit of that. You know, one of the people like, they hit me up all the time. What can I do? I'm like, well, I posted a video on that. Go watch this video. Nah, well, what do you tell me? I'm like, okay, right now we're researching law firms here in Georgia that advertise. They're out there for men's rights. We're going to call them and say, hey, on your website, you say you're for men's rights. You're advertising for it. We're opening a DV shelter in Atlanta. How much can I write you down for a donation on right now? Well, we told them, take a screen capture of the website, because they're going to run in and change it. I guarantee you they are. And then film yourself calling and talking to them and send it to us. Because I see all the money coming in. I know who's donating. I know who's not. I know who's talking big talk, but don't want to walk a walk. In the South, we say, you know, money talks, bullshit walks.
Yep.
Okay. And that's all you have to do. Well, how can I help? Well, do that. Where do they go to donate? Go to the website. Click on the link.
Do you have a sticker price for this yet?
Sticker price for the house?
Yeah.
We'd like an initial $1 million as a goal we've set in the donation sites online.
That's doable. That's definitely doable.
Here's a good mathematical. I call it backyard mathematics. There's 7.5 million single fathers in the United States. If each one of them donated $1, we'd blow that away. $1, blow it away. Boom, done.
Mm.
But the bigger message is 7.5 million single fathers donated. That's the message. Not that we made our goal and blew it away seven times over, but the message is men are tired. Men are exhausted. Men are sick of being beat on. So I'm going to donate $1 and I'm going to go to my buddy. I know he's a single father. I'm going to get him in front of a community and say, you donate $1. You know, I got fathers out in California, veterans. I ain't got no money, but I can give you $35. So I can give you $50. They ain't got no money, but they can still come up with $50. You got men spending thousands of dollars to go see the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about the fall of Rome, but they ain't got $1,000 to donate to Daddy's House. There's your problem. See?
Hmm.
And here's the thing about critics. They'll find any little thing wrong. They'll make it a big deal.
Yep.
Meanwhile, they found all this good stuff and they don't want to talk about it. Found all this good stuff. Well, I can't get him on that. Can't get him on that. Oh, I got him on that. There's going to be people out there talking bad about Daddy's House. There's not a bad thing about it, but they're going to talk bad about it. And what are they actually talking bad about? Children. Children. Because fathers are walking out of a domestically violent situation with children. And if you don't support abusers, you support victims. Put the rubber to the road and do something. You don't do nothing. Through your inaction, you're supporting abusers.
Absolutely.
Men have to really learn to man up and really start calling it out the way it is. And there's nothing wrong with that. But yet women have made it so difficult for men to speak up. For me to call another man or another woman an abuser because she doesn't support in helping victims that are children. For me to call her an abuser? Oh, my Lord. It's like I just spit on Jesus Christ himself. You either support victims or you support abusers. You better say I support victims and what can I do? Or I'm going to put you on the side with the abusers.
Try saying you're a survivor.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And it is mind-numbing how people can't wrap their heads around. Nobody's talking about abusive men here. You're not taking an abusive guy and his kids. You're not taking a pedophile and his kids. You're taking the victim. You're helping the victim.
The victim. Exactly. You do a lot of stuff. You volunteer in a lot of venues. I see your volunteer work and I'm like, he's committed. He's in there. He's helping. He's getting people engaged. You know, I get them plugged into the right channels to get them the support they need and stuff like that. But you think of how many other victims out there that are men that are afraid to ask. It's fear.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're afraid of the humility from other men.
Mm-hmm. And the questions they won't ask a woman who's a victim of domestic violence, but they'll automatically assume they can ask a guy or assume a guy's lying, which I think is horrible. They don't believe you.
Well, you know, it's absolutely horrible because, you know, like me, they look at me like, here you are, a martial artist, you're a small weapons expert, you got all those muscles, you're in military. I don't believe you're a victim. Dude, well, one, I am a victim. Number two is, are you men out there who think you're going to man up and fight back against a woman? Get ready to go to prison.
Yep.
No doubt in my mind, you're going to go to prison. You can defend yourself. There was a case here, a law firm I know, defended an Atlanta City police officer who defended himself and had to bring in an expert in the field at tens of thousands of dollars of cost to him. His family helped him in the defense and bringing in this expert that showed that the police officer was defending himself against his, I believe it was his wife, attacking him. And he was using police tactics and training to subdue her. Okay. He didn't get his money back. She made a false allegation, but they proved it in court. It's court record. And I reached out to the law firm and they're going to contact him to see if I can't interview him. And I'll do a video interview of him as well. That's where a lot of people, when they don't understand men, basically from the time I know from the time I was a small child, you don't hit a woman. You just don't do it. You know, my attorney asked me straight out, if we interview all your girlfriends and all your ex-wives, including your first ex-wife, will they say you hit them? I was like, no.
Right.
The courts, they're being taught. And we have the recordings. I've done videos on these. They have the recordings. They're being taught how to file a false allegation. And the listeners of this podcast need to understand this is a nationwide training program. It's occurring in all prosecutorial offices, from the United States Attorney's Office right down to your district attorney's office. They go through formalized training on how to levy a false allegation. Not how to identify it as a false allegation, but how to levy the. They're being professionally trained on this. We have the videos. They're out there.
So the woman in Texas.
The woman in Texas, we're beating her to death on this one. But there's other videos I've been told, and I've had people reach out and contact me individually, said, I know the video is worse than that one, but I have to really think about giving it to you because it'll tell who they are. They're scared.
Right.
They're fear. They're governed by fear, you know? And I think they'll eventually come forward with them. When they do, we'll make an example of it because men need to understand the system does not follow the law. The system is corrupt. I've often said it's a crime cartel. It meets all the criteria for it, you know? So it's like, if I commit suicide, Chuck, I didn't commit suicide. It's a setup. Somebody came here and did it.
Right.
Okay. So I'm just going to let you know.
Same.
Wait a minute. Bill committed suicide? No, hell no. He did not. You know, but that's where men need to understand why daddy's house is so important too, is the system's rigged against you because we don't have the support architecture women do. And from that, government agencies all the way down to funding bodies and government and private industry fund these women organizations because of data they're getting out of these DV shelters. Men only have 2 versus 2,000.
So how much data could we possibly be given? That's a very valid point.
I mean, think about it. Think about the math involved in that. Just think about the math. No wonder they get so much money. They got data. And if you're a business, why would you give daddy's house money when the data, which is skewed, immensely skewed, is about women. It's because of DV shelters. So you want to get back to the courts. You want to get back. You want to fix this. You want to break the generational gap of abuse and neglect. Daddy's house. Daddy's house is the kryptonite these governments fear because now they have to look at data and the money is going to come to men. All you have to do is step up, be a professional, and say, oh, what do we need to do to get this started? Follow us on X primarily, but we also post updates on TikTok and Instagram and occasionally on YouTube.
I like it. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Bill Corbett for coming on the show today. A lot of great stuff. You'll find everything you need to know in the show notes on Daddy's House. And try giving up more than a buck. But if you can, just give a buck. Give something to help men. Bill, always a pleasure, brother.
It's always good seeing you, man. Love you, brother.
Love you too, bro.
We must get our voices out there. Send us your stories to whydaddynevercries@gmail.com or whydaddynevercries on Facebook. Remember, this is a daily and sometimes hourly struggle. So follow us on Daddy Never Cries at Twitter and Why Daddy Never Cries on Instagram and let your voice be heard. Let's end the fatherless children syndrome that's plaguing this world.
The team of Why Daddy Never Cries consists of Joe, the voice of reason, Nicole Kelleher, and Scott Hall. Thanks, everybody. You can't change what happened to you, brothers. What you can control, however, is how you react to every situation. So you got to figure out how to make it work for you. And when life gave me lemons, I said the hell with the glass. I'm making an international lemonade franchise. So until next time,
You've got this, Daddy.